This morning, I want to share a little bit in this message, my testimony, a little bit in here. And I want to challenge us this morning about what kind of servant are we, you know? What kind of servant are we, and do we have these character traits of Abraham's servant? And we're going to look at this servant of Abraham, read a few verses. And I just want to challenge you, and I hope it's a challenge to your heart this morning. But starting in verse number 1 of Genesis 24, the Bible says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again from the land unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. And the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swore to him concerning that matter." Let's have a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Dear Father, we do thank you for this day you've given to us. Father, we thank you for your love. Father, your care, your protection over us. Father, we thank you for your son Jesus Christ and what was accomplished on the cross of Calvary for us. Father, we're not deserving, but you gave us your love and your grace, your mercy. Father, I pray that you would be with the message this morning. Father, I pray you just move me out of the way. Father, I pray you would speak to hearts this morning. Father, I pray that you would challenge us, Father, to be the people we ought to be that you can use right here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, right here in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. I pray that you would just guide and direct every word that's said this morning. Father, we thank you for all you do for us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah, you know, here this morning as we read these verses of Abraham's servant, you know, we're familiar with this story of Abraham asking a servant to go out and find a son or a bride for his son Isaac. And as we know the story, the servant goes out and he is successful in finding this young lady and bringing her back for Isaac to marry. But I want to point out some things about this servant in his life and different character traits I believe this man had in his life that I believe all of us as Christians ought to have in our life. You know, God wants to use us, and we need to be people that are usable and are ready to be used and have character in our life. And these things I believe that ought to be present in our life. And I'm going to kind of draw some, tying my testimony together with men that God used in my life that had similar character traits or these character traits in their life as a teen growing up, just having people that cared enough about me and were men of character. But here in Genesis 24, in verse number 2, in the middle of this verse, there's a phrase here that says that ruled over all that he had. You know, as I read that, I began to think about this servant. You know, he was a servant that was a man of integrity. You know, he had integrity. This man, he was trustworthy. He was honest. You know, this man here being a trustworthy servant with all of the things of Abraham. You know, Abraham could trust him with everything that he had. And he was able to put into his hand all of his goods and knew that this man would do exactly what he wanted him to do. You know, that he wouldn't try to rip him off, that he wouldn't try to undercut Abraham in any way, but he was a trustworthy man. And you know, in our churches today, we need people that are trustworthy servants of the Lord. We need people that, you know, when it comes to serving God and here at church, that we need people that we can trust on that'll be there when the doors are open, at their Sunday school class. We need people to be there. And, sometimes things in life happen, but, you know, are we still trustworthy? Are we going to be there in our place? And are we dependable? You know, I think of these men in my life and how that I believe that they were trustworthy, and I'll get to this further in the lesson this morning, but you know, trustworthiness is a big thing in the world today. You know, people today, you can't hardly trust anybody today. I mean, everybody wants to have a piece of paper, have it notarized, a signature on it, because you can't trust them to follow through on what they're going to do. You know, and we need to be trustworthy people, people of integrity. You know, there was a day in this country where you could take somebody by the hand and shake their hand, and what they said they were going to do, you could put it in the bank because it was going to be done. Because people were people of integrity, and we're losing that. And in church, we ought to be people that are people of integrity, trustworthy and honest. You know, we ought not be hearing about people that are suing their church. And we've been in churches that the pastor, we just stopped at a church one day, and the pastor said, some people left. We can't do anything with missions. They froze our bank accounts. The judge froze it because the church members are suing us. So we can't even pay our own missionaries right now because of what's going on in court. Church members suing their church. It's unbelievable what's going on in Christianity today. But we ought to be people of integrity. Are you trustworthy? Are you honest? Can God trust you right here? You know, and you say, well, and even in our life, maybe I stop and I think about being trustworthy, and sometimes we say, well, what's God given to me to be trustworthy with? Even if you don't teach a class in your homes as a father, God's given you children. Are you trustworthy? God's given you a responsibility to raise those kids for the Lord. And are you doing the job that he's given you to do? But not only a man of integrity, I believe this man was a man of prayer. If we read past verse 9 and were to keep on reading, we know that this man prayed a prayer that God would send him good speed on his way. He prayed a very specific prayer at this moment in his journey as well, asking that this young lady would come out and, you know, that she would draw water and he would ask her for a drink and she would give him a drink and that she would water, you know, give his camels a drink, and prayed very specifically for a situation to happen just so that he knew it was God doing it. He was a man of prayer. You know, where do you think this man learned how to pray? I believe Abraham taught him how to pray. I believe Abraham taught him how to get a hold of God. And you know, this servant here, as he went on his way, prayed for God to do something very specific. Folks, in churches today, I think we're losing what prayer is all about. Getting a hold of God. Taking our petitions to him. Sometimes we pray so generically that, you know, we get in a Wednesday night service and we get rushed into the service at the end of the service and we split up in a prayer group sometimes, and you know, we got to hurry along. You know, the kids got to go to bed and all of these things. And, you know, and we begin to pray very generically. And then that same pattern happens in our life when we get up in the morning and, you know, we're getting ready for work and or whatever it may be. And life just happens and it gets fast and we just don't take the time to pray like we ought to pray. You know, this servant knew that he was about to enter something very important and he took the time to pray and ask God for something very specific. Folks, do you stop and ask God for something very specific in your prayers? For that family member that Brother Baker asked you to write down on that piece of paper the other night, someone that you knew that wasn't saved, and do we take time to pray specifically for people like that? Or do we only do that when we're reminded to? We need to be people that pray. The church needs to be a place, and we wonder why we don't have the power that we ought to have is because we don't pray like we ought to pray. You know, we wonder why things are going crazy in the world around us because it's crazy inside the church. And we're not praying, and we're not seeking God's face, and we don't have his power like they had years ago, but we could have that same power. And God wants us to be people that pray, and this servant prayed also for guidance on his way. You know, every day when we get up, we ought to pray for God's guidance. We ought to pray that he sends us across the path of someone that needs to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. We ought to ask God to send us on our way so that he can guide us to those places and people that we need to see and be around, and maybe somebody that just, another brother or sister that just needs somebody to draw up next to them and say, hey, you know what? I love you, and I'm praying for you. You know how much of an encouragement that is to people when they're going through a difficult time, just to know that people are thinking about them and praying for them through a difficulty in life. And all of us have different difficulties in our life. All of us go through trials in our life, and we need people to pray for us, and you need people to pray for you. You know something, as we read in the verses that we read here, I think it was about verse number 8, and this is just kind of a side note. It says here that if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, thou shalt be clear from this my oath. You know, folks, as I read that verse, I thought, you know what? God only wants us to take the message of the gospel and do our part and let him do his part. He wants us to do our part in taking the message, and if they don't accept that message, we've done what he's asked us to do. And then it says there, you're clear from this, my oath, or of your oath. You know, God just wants us to do our part. And are we doing our part to reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are we just, you know, going through life with no specific purpose in life? Folks, we need to be doing what God has for us to do and be that servant that God's asked us to be. You know, be a person of integrity, be a person of prayer. In verse number 35, or verse 34, as I read through this story, I came to this verse, and it said, and he said, I am Abraham's servant. You know, this servant here, we could think, you know, you could read over that verse and just keep on moving. I'm Abraham's servant. But when I read that verse, I began to think about verse number 2. Here he is, the head of the house of Abraham. In his hands, Abraham put everything. You know, right here in this verse, this man could have said, look at me. Look at how God's blessed Abraham under my care. Look at all these things that he has. Look at how God's blessed under my supervision. But he didn't say that. He said, I'm Abraham's servant. Man, I began to think about the times at work around the water cooler, or, you know, sitting at the lunch table and talking to men at work, and everybody's talking about their accomplishments. Well, let me tell you about how I climbed the corporate ladder. Let me tell you about how, you know, in high school I scored so many goals or touchdowns in a game or whatever it may be. And we begin to talk about our own accomplishments without talking about our Savior, about our Master. And we make it about us instead of about our Master. So many times in life, we miss opportunities because we want to tell people about ourselves instead of tell people about our Master. This man here, I believe, was a humble servant. He had a humble attitude. He didn't say, hey, look at me, I want the limelight, look at all of these things that have been blessed under my care for Abraham. He just said, hey, I'm Abraham's servant. I'm just a servant. Folks, we're all just servants. If you're a Christian in here today, you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just servants. And we need to be doing what God wants us to do with our life and pointing people to Jesus Christ, not to ourselves. And are you pointing people to Christ today? Are you that humble servant? You know, as if you're to keep on reading, you get in about verse 54, 56, and there at the end of the chapter, it begins, he's found Rebecca is ready to go back, and the family saying, hey, just give us some more time. Let us take some more time with her. Give us a little more time. And he just wanted to finish the job that Abraham gave him to do. Folks, you know what we need in churches are people that are finishers. We need people that will finish the job that God's put in their hand to do. You know, and finish our life out well. And I appreciate Brother Baker, and, you know, as many guys will step away from the ministry, and, you know, it's just, that's the end of their ministry. But, you know, if there's life left in these bones, I believe we ought to just keep on going for the Lord. Teaching young people, as Brother Stretch doing an ambassador, and teaching young people, and, you know, but what happens many times and with people as we get older, we just stop. You know, it's time to, I can retire. Let me pick out where I'm going to retire to. and find a small little church somewhere where nobody really knows me, and I can just kind of sit back there and just finish out my days. Folks, we need to be finishers. We need to be people that when God put us in a race, we need to determine that I'm going to stay in that race until He says it's time to be done. I've seen far too many people through my life that have started out well and something happens. And, you know, tragedy happens everywhere. Bad things happen all the time. There are things that will discourage you from going on in the ministry. There are things that will discourage you from going on in your life. But we need to finish the race that God's put us in. Keep on moving forward. You know, sometimes you might think, well, I can't take a step forward. You know, a baby step forward is a step in the right direction sometimes. Not getting off the track and keep on moving. You know, I'm reminded of a runner, I believe it was in 1984. There was a British athlete that was running track and field. It was 84-88, and he had tried to qualify for the Olympics 4 years prior. I believe he tore his Achilles tendon. And he didn't qualify, but he trained, he rehabbed, he got back into shape, he ran, he qualified for the Olympics 4 years later, I believe it was 88. And he was able to run that race. And it was something like the 800 meter, something like that he was running. And I can remember, I can't remember all the specifics, but I do remember watching that race. And some of you will remember this. That young man was running around the track. And he was running around that track. All of a sudden you see him reach for his leg and falls to the track, and his leg's quivering there on the track. And he tore his hamstring. And he's laying there in pain and agony. His father comes running down out of the crowd and jumps over the barricade, and security's chasing him. And he's telling him, it's my son that's out there. And he gets out to his son. And you know what? That kid could have said, you know, just help me off to the side of the track. But that kid got up off that track and he says, I'm going to finish the race. And that kid, with a torn hamstring, started hobbling down that track to the finish line. I can't tell you who won the gold, silver, or bronze. But I can tell you about a kid that had enough character, that trained his whole life for a race that stayed in it and went across that finish line. And sometimes we may not go across that line in the way that we think we're going to cross it, but we need to cross that line. And be a finisher in our life. Be a finisher. You know, there's teenagers and young people that are looking at you to see if it's worth staying in the race. You know, as a young person, I remember watching people. We had a terrible situation happen at a church that I went to as a teenager. And I can remember within a month, we lost about 150 people gone because they were following a man and not Christ. Folks, bad things happen, but are you going to allow that to knock you out of the race? Or are you going to stay in the race and finish the race God's put you in? You know, I share these different things about this servant of Abraham, and I want to kind of tie it together a little bit with my testimony and men that God used in my life. You know, as I thought about this man that Abraham could use as servant, and how he was a man of integrity and trustworthy, and he was a man of prayer, and this man, he was humble, and I began to think about people that God placed in my life that were just like this man. They were people that prayed. They were people that, you know, they were trustworthy. God could use them right in their own community. And I grew up in a small community in Fostoria, Michigan, and a couple of the college students knew where that was at because they have relatives there or from there. But, you know, Fostoria is a little spot on the map, about 200 people. When I was growing up, about 250. So they went down. But about 250 people as I was growing up in a little spot in the thumb area of the Lower Peninsula. You know, as I was growing up there as a kid, I was being raised in a Catholic home. Every Tuesday and Thursday at the public school, the Catholic Church would come Tuesday and Thursday, the last hour, every Tuesday and Thursday. We would line up in a single file line. We would go down to the VFW hall where we had catechism. And we would go down and we'd have catechism. We would come back and you know, to the school. And if you were to ask me, what'd you learn in catechism? I have no idea what I learned in catechism. I learned how to make a pretty good spit wad that I could hit my teacher with, and that was about it. But we didn't learn a whole lot in catechism. And, you know, we, at this time in our life, my parents would go to the Catholic Church about Christmas and Easter were the only times my parents would go. My grandparents went a little more faithfully, and when we were working on the farm, we would go with my grandparents down to the Catholic Church they went to. But during this time of our life, as we were being raised in a Catholic home, we had some people start knocking on our door on Thursday night, 7 o'clock. We were the first or second church or home north of the church on the right-hand side of the road. And those men would leave that church, they'd come down, and they started knocking on our door on Thursday nights. 7 o'clock, Pastor Fred Kinkle. If you could get a picture of this man, it was bright white hair, you know, snow white hair. And when he would preach, he would turn as red as a beet. You thought the guy was going to die in the pulpit when he preached. But that guy, Pastor Kinkle, and a man by the name of David Smith, and you might know Jeff Smith, who was an ambassador for a while, his father. He went to school with my mom and dad. So he started coming to our home with Pastor Kinkle knocking on our door, inviting my folks to church. My folks said, we're not interested in going to church. We have our own church. So they said, thank you. We appreciate your time. The next Thursday came. Just wanted to see if you want to come to church this week. We're not interested. You know, we have our own church. Thank you. The next Thursday. But we're not interested. Next Thursday, next Thursday, next Thursday. That went on for weeks. Them knocking on our door, 7 o'clock Thursday night. You know, finally my mom said, you know what, Dave, we know you drive the Sunday school bus. Why don't you stop and pick up the boys and take them to Sunday school? I'm the oldest of three boys. And my mom, I'm sure, was looking at it as, this will be a great break. Get these kids out of the house. But, you know, Dave stopped by with that Sunday school bus. We rode down to the Baptist church. We came home that day, and my mom said, well, how'd you guys like Sunday school? We liked Sunday school. We played games, and we had candy. And at catechism, we don't play games, and they don't give us candy. So my mom said, well, we don't care what you do. If you guys want to go back to the Baptist church, that's fine. You don't have to do both. That was an amazing miracle in itself right there. We started going to that Baptist church and quit going to catechism. As we were going to Fostoria Baptist Church, I had Sunday school teachers, junior church workers that were faithful servants that God could use. We were sitting in a junior church setting, and you know the old Betty Lukens flannel graph sets. And Mrs. Strahl was up here, Sharon Strahl had her flannel graph set here, and it was around Easter time, and she was talking about the crucifixion and the resurrection, and she began putting pieces on that board. And for the first time in my life as a kid, I understood what Jesus did for me. Catholic Church was telling me, be good. You know, I saw my grandmother pay the priest a $500 indulgence to pray my grandfather out of purgatory, and tried to tell grandma there is no such place as purgatory. But you know, we were going to that Sunday school class, and she told that story, and I, for the first time in my life, I understood. I went to Mrs. Strahl afterwards. I said, Mrs. Strahl, I need to accept Christ as my Savior. She took me into a class, and I bowed my head in that class, and I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior. I saw both of my brothers do the same thing there at Fostoria Baptist Church. You know, people started coming to our home a little bit more frequently. Now we have Sunday school teachers coming to our home on Saturday morning. You know, hey, you boys do your lesson, memorize your verse, bring your Bible, bring a friend, more points, bigger candy bars. Always a motive, right? There's always a motive. So we began to learn Bible verses and learn things about the Bible that we never knew. Over a period of time, my parents began in their heart to think about, why do these people care so much about our kids? why do they care? My parents over time began to start coming to Fostoria Baptist Church. Sunday morning, church would start at 11 o'clock and they would slip in them back doors and they'd sit in that back pew and they would listen to the message. And then when the pastor said, bow your head and close your eyes, my parents would be the first two out of that back row and they'd be the first two out that door. But David Smith was always there to thank my mom and dad for coming to church. And if he could answer any questions they had, to feel free to ask. You know, it was over a few months of my parents doing that, I saw my mom and dad get saved at Fostoria Baptist Church. You know, I saw their life changed. My dad was a drunk. My dad was abusive. My dad, you know, Friday nights he'd work at General Motors. They'd go out drinking, he'd come home, and he was the kind of guy that wanted to see how bad he could twist you into a knot. But you know, when my dad got saved, all that stopped. I saw him dump his alcohol down the drain. I saw him throw his cigarettes away. I saw him quit going out on Friday nights with his buddies. I saw him start witnessing to his relatives and telling them about Jesus Christ. I saw a change in my dad. I've never seen anything before like that. And it was all because somebody cared enough to come and knock on our door. Because they knew they were given a responsibility to reach Fostoria, Michigan with the gospel. You know, David Smith never knew that day he'd come and pick me up on that bus and Jerry Judd would be a missionary one day going to New Zealand. What he saw behind that door were the souls of five people that needed to know Christ as their Savior. And I wonder if we're doing our part right here in Kings Mountain to reach the people. The homes that are broken, the kids that are hurting, the mom and dads that need to know Christ. Are we doing our part? You know, as I grew older, I had... And all of us, you know, you get to be a teenager and sometimes most of the times, most teenagers just want to do what they want to do. You know, and I had surrendered my life to the Lord to preach at 16, but, you know, I knew at that time, I told my best friend, Don, I said, Don, you need to help keep me accountable because the devil's going to try to defeat me and from doing what God has for me to do with my life. And it wasn't long after that, you know, I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I just kind of put God's call on the back burner. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. But, you know, I always had Sunday school teachers that were there to encourage me to do the right thing. I had a senior high Sunday school teacher, my best friend's dad, Don, senior. In high school, this guy, he was a different guy, I will say that. But he was a fun guy. And Friday nights in the springtime, we'd go out sucker spearing, if you know the fish, not people, but fish. But we would go out spearing suckers in the streams around Kaysville, Michigan, up in, that would come in from Lake Huron, and on Friday nights we'd go up with lanterns and big tubs that we'd drag behind us in the streams, and we'd go from 11 o'clock at night till 5 o'clock in the morning. He would just come by our house when that season was open, to spend some time with his Sunday school class boys. And he gave of his life to us. He just showed us that he loved us. He passed away about 2 years ago. I told his wife, I said, you know, your husband was one of the top three most influential men in my life because he loved me for who I was. He loved me. That guy would go, we'd go out there to go sucker spearing. He'd buy bags of Doritos and, you know, he'd back when Coke and Pepsi were in the glass bottles, he'd buy a couple cases of those and, man, he'd get a mouthful of Doritos and he'd take a drink of his Pepsi and spit them all back in there and just laugh at us like, you're not going to drink my soda now, are you? No, we're not going to touch your soda. And that's the kind of crazy guy he was. You know, but though even through those times where, you know, I wasn't so lovable, he still loved me. When I would give him a hard time in Sunday school class, the sun shining through the window and I'm doing shadow things on the wall next to his head, and he'd laugh it off and say, okay, wise guy, you can finish teaching the class. You know, those things I look back on, and I just love that about Mr. Thatcher. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't get mad. He just, man, I still love you. And I wonder if we have that kind of love for people right here. Sometimes you're not going to do things that want to make us love them, but do we still love them? Do we still show them the love of Christ? You know, it's because of people like that that God put in my life, that were people of integrity, that were people that prayed for us. And I know that Don Thatcher and Dave Smith prayed for us. And Mr. Thatcher would tell us all the time that he was praying for us teenage boys all the time. And I love that about Mr. Thatcher. Just showed that he cared and he loved us. That they cared about their community. You know, David Smith, if you were to go find David Smith today, they just got back from a missions trip up in Nova Scotia. He was up there doing some building for a church. But David Smith still drives that Sunday school bus. Not the same one he picked me up on, of course, but he still drives a Sunday school bus there at Fostoria, Michigan. Picking kids up, bringing them to church. He's still a deacon at Fostoria Baptist Church, still serving the Lord. Still going faithfully, wanting to burn out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, I pray that you'll be finishers here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Be a finisher that God can use. There's younger generation, and sometimes you say, well, I don't know about that. You know, I want you to know I was watching. I was looking at people as a teenager to see what did Christ mean to them. And there's young people in this church that are watching you to see what does Christ mean to you. And is it worth burning out, or should I just give up? Folks, burn out for the Lord. Stay the course, finish the race. Let God use you right here to reach Kings Mountain with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't know the young people or the families that you could reach here if you just stay the course and do the job and finish what God has for you to do right here. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, I thank you for this time that we could meet together. Lord, I thank you for this missions conference at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I thank you that they make it a priority here. Father, to not only reach Kings Mountain, but to reach the rest of the world with the gospel of Christ. Father, I thank you for folks here that I see that when we were here so many years ago that are still here today, still serving you. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness and the folks that are here. Father, I thank you for this church and the lighthouse that it is in this community, and Father, how you've used it in my life through the years. Father, we thank you for the way that you will use us. Father, we're so unworthy, but yet you'll use us. We thank you for that and allowing us to be a part in reaching this world with the gospel of Christ. Father, we thank you for all you do for us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.